6, verse 7 through 13. We move in Mark to Sunday nights. And this is really going to be a two or three part section just right here on these verses alone. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Faithful kingdom ministry. And we're in the Gospel of Mark. And by the way, while you're looking for it, I want to say thank you for your faithfulness and your commitment to the local church. And it's much appreciated. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. We're going to read the whole text, although we're just going to preach on one verse tonight, verse 7. If you will, let's stand in honor of God's word. And it's always good to come to church. That way you get good therapy, standing and sitting, okay? In a Baptist church, right? And he called unto him, being Jesus, the 12, and began to send them forth by two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, we all know what the 12 is. It's the 12 original apostles. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey. You ever wonder where that phrase come from in that song, take nothing for your journey? But anyway, he says, and he commanded them that they should not take nothing for their journey, save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Well, that's quite different from the prosperity gospel preachers today, ain't it? But he shod with, be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into that house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whatsoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Faye, we've done that in two or three churches, haven't we, when we left. And he said, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Father, tonight I pray as we begin this little section here in a week or two, and as we go through it, help us to apply some principles that we can apply in our own ministry, because we are servants of the Most High God, and you have sent us out as well. And so, Father, teach us tonight about what it means to be a faithful minister in kingdom ministry. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here we have we got to establish this right off the bat. We are all ministers, right? We are all servants. Servants of God, that's what the word means, ministers. And wherever God has placed you, that's your platform, okay? And we are all to be sent out. I spoke on this recently at Boston Fellowship at our men's prayer time. We got it all wrong in the New Testament church. We have been taught and we have been geared to believe that we got to do whatever it takes to get them in. God says, it's not about getting them in, it's about getting us out, right? Y'all understand that? That's the New Testament pattern, going out. Well, if we can just get them here and hear our preacher and hear the gospel, they might get saved. Well, you go out there and give them the gospel where you meet them at, right? Sending us out. And so we've got it all wrong. And here we have a turning point in our Lord's ministry. Before, he had done it all. Done all the teaching, all the healing, all the miracles. Now he authorized the 12 apostles and commissioned them to go out on his stead. They were given supernatural ability to heal, perform miracles, preach the gospel, and cast out demons. They were given the supernatural power. In fact, there's a passage of scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, that gives us the signs of an apostle. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now we are not apostles. But remember the criteria, the four criteria of an apostle. They had to accompany Jesus on his earthly ministry. They had to have seen the resurrected Lord, perform signs and wonders, and commissioned directly by the Lord himself. Paul was not one of the 12. Paul was born out of due time, commissioned to the Gentiles, because he didn't accompany Jesus on his earthly ministry. So So he was not listed as one of the 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. But we can learn broader principles, and that's what we're going to do here. We're going to expand this to us today. What can we learn about what God called them to do in our ministry here till we go home or the Lord returns? How can we be faithful in the day in which we live in? And Jesus, remember, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Okay? And that's why I believe that New Testament church today has got the pattern all wrong. You know? They know where the church is at. If they want to come, they can come. The church is always called to go out. You know why you're here today? You're here for mutual edification. And you're here for corporate worship like he told us to do. Okay? That, then you go out and be the church. Okay? Go out where they're at there. So what can we learn? Well, what are the marks of a faithful kingdom ministry? We're going to look at two tonight. You see them on the screen. Number one, faithful ministers proclaim the gospel. Look in verse 7, if you will, of Mark chapter 6. Look in verse 7a. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Jesus had trained them, and now he was sending them out to do the same things that he was doing. He begins to send them out to preach the gospel in other places. Okay? Now note here in the text, in verse 7, he says he began to send them out. Jesus did not send them out all at once, but it's evident from this passage that he staggered, and they were going out two by two. He begins to send them out. And they went out in pairs, two by two. Many of you that have been involved in outreach know that concept. Brother Ray, I know, knows it. You go out, you got a partner with you, right, Brother Ray? And you go out two by two. There's about three reasons for that, why Jesus did that. Number one, mutual support and protection. If you don't have nobody to go out with you, next thing you know, you're going to be at home watching Fox News, right? It's mutual support and protection, especially in that day, right? And it's according to where you go in this day, you know, you need protection with you. And they also sent them out by pairs to strengthen their capability. And then thirdly, I believe, to ensure that their message was confirmed by two or more witnesses. Remember, that was the law. Every matter was confirmed by two or three witnesses. So whatever was said there in witnessing, you know, you can come up into a lot of problems, you know. That old preacher, he came to my house and he said this. Well, if you got a witness, you know, you're good with that, you know. We get misunderstood enough without actually somebody lying about us, you know. Now, Luke chapter 9, verse 2 says this. This is his rendering of Luke's rendering of sending them out. He said he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Now, the word proclaim, let me tell you what it means. It refers to authoritative public announcement of important information by a herald or a forerunner. So they went out from village to village publicly proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God. They proclaim the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ saves. Let me give you a good definition of the good news. That sinners could be reconciled to God by grace through faith in Christ alone. They could enter into the blessing and the hope and salvation of his kingdom. That they could fully understand that they're sinners and who he is and fully embrace him, understanding that they need mercy and they need grace. They're spiritually bankrupt. They cannot save themselves. That's the good news of the gospel. But then notice down in verse 12, not only were they to proclaim that part, but they were to proclaim repentance. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Now that's a lost word in the average church, right? And if you've been around circles where I am, you read what I read, you see what I see, we don't want to tell nobody to repent because that's going to run them off, you know. That's a naughty word. We don't mention repentance or sin or hell or the consequences of the gospel. We don't talk about a turning. We're just talking about come on in and be accepted by us. And so they leave out the word repentance. Now, one must turn from sin and believe the gospel. That's what it says. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins might be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, and the times of the ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. See? Now let me tell you more about the word repentance in the Greek form. And what it means is, it means actually to think differently and to act differently. What it means is one recognizes, again, as I said, their spiritually bankrupt condition, crying out to God for mercy, and then they embrace, fully embrace Christ as the only way to be saved. So the faithful minister accurately and urgently proclaims the good news of salvation to the lost. And to do anything else is to compromise our calling and compromise the gospel. There's a lot of people. It's amazing that the church is over 2,000 years old and there's still the one thing they can't get right is the gospel. Amen? It's crazy. Not everybody preaches it like we do and like Brother Steve does and Brother Ganey does. You know, it's just amazing what they think the gospel means and how people get saved. So faithful minister proclaimed the gospel. And then secondly, faithful ministers show compassion. Now look in verse 7, the latter part of verse 7. And gave them power over unclean spirits. He gave them power over demons. And Matthew and Mark says they were given authority to heal the sick and to raise the dead. Now who was this given to, church? The apostles. They were given supernatural power to perform the signs of an apostle. And these signs validated and authenticated their message and their ministry. Okay? And that's why Jesus healed. That's why Jesus worked miracles. Because when the Messiah came, the Old Testament said that's what he would do. He did it to authenticate that he was the Messiah. And some mistakenly thought that was what it was all about. Just a healing ministry. You know? Some today mistake that. You know? They think it's all about that. No, it's all about the gospel, right? And so they missed the boat. The apostolic gifts through a man. I want y'all to listen to your pastor real closely. Y'all know where I'm going with this. The apostolic gifts through a man no longer exist today because it's the end of the apostolic era, the completion of the canon of Scripture. What do we mean by canon of Scripture? Hold your Bible up. This is the canon of Scripture right here. You can authenticate my ministry by the Word of God, right? The gift of the apostles through a man doing these supernatural gifts ceased with the death of the last apostle. Now, note what I did not say. I did not say that God does not still heal, right? But God doesn't heal through a man. He heals through his church and the prayers of the saints, James chapter 5, right? That's how he heals. There's no man going to walk in this door and say he's an apostle and he has the gift to heal and raise the dead. You know, that is null and void. God heals through the prayers of his saints. And you can't argue with that. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15, very plainly. Anyone sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and that he may be healed, right? So the 12 apostles are dead, right? Those gifts were given to them to authenticate that they were sent by God to establish the church. Are you tracking with me? Okay. If you're not, you're going to have to come up with some other scripture, right? Let me give you the classic scripture that proves this. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, if you will. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It's near the end of the near the end of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And by the way, I've told you before, if these guys going around with the vans saying they're apostles, they're going to be able to raise the dead. And they're going to put Allen and the wooden chiver out of business, right? I mean, what else can you come up with? If apostles are still for the day, then they need to be raising the dead, right? Are you following me? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Now listen very closely. We're going to break this. Everybody there, I want everybody in this church to see this. Everybody got it? Y'all got it? Everybody got it? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, right? It is the Lord that brought the gospel, you see, which is at first spoken by the Lord. Now notice, and was confirmed unto us. Now who is us? Us is the first readers of the book of Hebrews. Us is us, right? Okay, y'all tracking with me so far? I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Listen to him. Spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Who are them that heard him? The apostles. It goes back to the apostles. They heard him. They authenticated the message by signs and wonders. It was spoken to us by them that heard him. Now, we ain't heard him. We ain't been with him physically. The early church wasn't with him physically, right? It was them that heard him, the apostles. Y'all see that? Okay? Now let's go a little further. Verse 4, and God also bearing them witness. Now who is them? Them is them that heard him, right? God also bearing them. He bore witness to the apostles, right? How did he do that? By both signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now let's read it. Let's read it this way. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to Trinity Baptist Church by the apostles, them that heard him, also bearing the apostles' witness, both by signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. That is the one text that you can use to say there are no more apostles today. Okay? And what they did was for them, okay? Now, modern day principle for us is we're not apostles, so we're not going to be able to do some of these things that were given to the apostles for a certain reason. But we can be a faithful minister. And what did they do when they healed the sick and when they cast out demons? What did they do? If you look at all the gospels, they showed compassion to the people, right? So faithful ministers in the kingdom of God today show compassion to the lost and to the saved. Jesus and the apostles relieved human suffering by their miracles. The 12 followed his example with tenderness and compassion, and we are to follow his example as well with tenderness and compassion. Now, I'm not going to keep you too long, but, well, y'all know that old joke about, what's that actor's name? Elizabeth Taylor, she's told her husband, her eighth husband, I'm not going to keep you too long, right? But anyway, okay, that was supposed to be funny. But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you will. I want to look at this passage. Look at the compassion of the apostle here, the apostle Paul, one sent out later to the Gentiles. And we ought to have compassion. We ought not laugh when people go to hell, right? You know, I was watching, thumbing through the channels one night years ago, and I come across one of these quacks on a TV. They weren't a Baptist congregation, but he got up there and said, all the Baptists are going to hell. And everybody clapped and everybody laughed. That says a lot about that denomination, doesn't it? Right? We are to show compassion to the saved and the lost. Because, you know, we're not lost no more. We don't need to condemn them from being lost. We need to share the gospel with them, right? Everybody there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul's talking about his ministry at Thessalonica. He says, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Boy, that's quite different than what you see on TV today, isn't it? Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. This is what New Testament ministers do, folks. You give your life and pour your life out for other people, right? So faithful ministers proclaim the gospel. Faithful ministers show compassion. Now next week we're going to begin to look at the last four marks of a faithful kingdom ministry. All heads bowed, all eyes closed, if you will, as our musicians come tonight. The invitation is twofold. For salvation, number one, Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And also there's a call out for us to send us out. You know, there's a million ways to witness. There's a thousand ways you can plant seed in somebody's life. It might even be five words. But God has sent us out from this place tonight to go out there where we work and where we play and where we contact with people that we might be a witness. And you know my heart, Father. That's why I go to Whataburger. That's why I go to Boston. That's why I go to Hardee's. Because not only do I eat, but I look for opportunities to talk to people. And there's a lot of hurting people out there. So, Father, send us out. Send us forth. That we might follow the biblical pattern of the New Testament. It's not coming here. It's go and tell. I think of what one great servant of yours said, Warren Wiersbe. He said, Jesus came down, Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, the saints went out, and the sinners came in. That's the pattern. Instead of just trying to entertain them and get them into our church, we ought to be sending out ministers into the community to impact the community for Christ. And these attractional events are not all bad, but to the neglect of each one going out, sharing the gospel, that's not right. So that's the call tonight, that we would go forth from this place. And the call is that if there's anybody under the sound of this preacher's voice and you've been touched by God, you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior tonight. You need to worship and serve him and grow as a Christian so you can fully develop and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to do that is in the community of faith, is with other believers through the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. That's the gospel invitation tonight. Father, it's your invitation as you will. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus.